Listen up, people. That's right. It's time to listen to the sparks of bliss in your life. I'm your host and life coach, Caroline De Posada from Miami, Florida. And this podcast is an invitation to join me in upgrading our mindset, wellness, and relationships so that together we create a life that unlocks our bliss. Join me each week as we explore practical strategies, inspiring stories, and the moments of clarity, or as we like to call them, los momenticos, that make the world a little more magical. Consider this your weekly dose of wisdom in your pocket. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, listeners, welcome to episode number 56 of Blissen Up. So today, if you are in the United States, you are probably on holiday for Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow, Monday, we get to honor and remember all of those incredibly courageous and brave military veterans who have died in active military service for our country. So if you have a family member, someone that you love that is a fallen soldier, tomorrow might be a very important day for you. And it should be an important day for all of us because those who fight for us give us the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And we get to be very grateful for those people. And if you have a soldier in your family, even if they are not a fallen soldier, we get to honor them and remember them and thank them for their service tomorrow. Now, to get back to today's episode, I've been thinking a lot about what I wanted to talk about today, and I think it's kind of funny that I am talking about it during a holiday weekend because oftentimes we do not want to talk about this topic during the holiday weekends. We want to ignore this topic during the holiday weekends, but it is still an important conversation to have. And that is the topic of being on autopilot as it relates to your nutrition. Now, I will confess that I have become especially mindful about this topic on this May because I went to put on a cute black vest that I had in my closet that survived my stylist's scrutinous eyes. If you don't know this, this is a story for another day, but I went out seeking a stylist recently and I landed two stylists because, as life would have it, the universe has rewarded me with an abundance of incredible people. So now I have these two incredible stylists that have helped me up my style and discover my soul's style essence and all this incredible stuff. I'll share that story on another day. But the bigger point is that they both agreed that I should keep this vest, right? So this little black vest has survived both of their sessions and both of their work. So, I mean, it's obviously a keeper. And I went to put it on the other day and it would not close. It doesn't button. It looks cute with an undershirt on it and I wore it like that. But when it didn't close, that was a sign that I have gained some weight and it was time to pay attention to that. Now, I don't think gaining weight in and of itself is a negative thing. In my particular case, I have been accused of being too skinny in the past. So I actually, the popular opinion, the consensus seems to be that having a little bit more weight on me is a good thing. However, it was still a moment when I put that thing on and I was like, wait a second. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but it means that I need to pay attention and I need to get real honest about what's going on. And when I did that, I noticed that I had gone on autopilot with my own personal nutrition. And here's something that I need to share. When I said I noticed, I also meant I acknowledged, because I have, of course, noticed it all along. And yet, sometimes we notice things, and we ignore them. We just put them on the back burner because they are not of the utmost priority in that moment or in that season. So we notice, but we turn a blind eye to the thing that we're noticing. So when I said notice, I mean, I'm going to own it. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to focus. I'm going to say, hey, what's going on? It's time to get honest about this. So that's what I did. And I wanted to share that with you. But I thought the best way to share it with you is to take you back to the beginning so you kind of understand my cycle, the season, and the journey I've been on with my nutrition and my health. I think it's really, really important, and I'm hoping that it serves you well. So as you listen to the story, I want you to think about your journey as it relates to health or anything else in your life. You will see a lot of similarities in my story to your story, and I think you'll figure out as I share the story what part of the process you're in, and it will really help you to be mindful this May of your own journey and make some choices accordingly. Okay, so to take you back to the beginning, I will admit that forever and ever and ever, I grew up kind of like a junkie, junk food addict situation. My parents, they did not have awareness about eating healthy when I was growing up. I grew up in a fast food culture. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, 99-cent burgers, I think, at Burger King once a week, or McDonald's, I don't remember, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Taco Bell. Fast food was prevalent in my childhood. I was never taught to eat well. I had no boundaries, no limitations. I could have as much cereal as I wanted, as much sugar as I wanted. It just wasn't an issue in my home at all. And I ate poorly until I was about 31 years old. So it took me a minute to get the memo about eating healthy. Now, when I was 31, and I'll tell you the exact date, it was July 19th, 2011, my father had been struggling with cancer, and we had learned that he had a bladder cancer that was spreading. And the recommendation at the time was to have him remove his bladder. And my father really did not want to go that route. He wanted to try an alternative holistic treatment. So he found this doctor in West Palm Beach. And on July 19th, 2011, we went to this doctor to see what his options were. Now, while we were sitting in the doctor's office, the doctor eventually told my father he did not want to try any experimental treatments on him because the cancer was too aggressive, he had too much to live, and he wasn't terminal. And he said, I cannot in good faith tell you not to remove your bladder because it could extend your life for quite a long time, which it did. It gave him 4 more years of life. And he said, and I just can't be responsible for, you know, not for you not doing that. But in that conversation with that doctor, I was there and I said to the doctor, you know, my father has had 3 different types of cancer in the last however many years. It had been like 10 years or something. And I have this in my genetics, and I have these 2 little boys. I didn't even have Ryan yet. I just had Justin and Orly. Justin was just 7 months old when this happened. And I said to this doctor, I'm terrified. I'm terrified that I'm going to go down this path and that I can also end up with cancer because of my genes, because of my DNA. And that doctor looked at me and said, well, you know, you can speak to your genetics. You are not purely a victim of your genetics. You can actually influence your genetics. Now, I didn't realize at the time that he was talking about the concept of epigenetics, which I later learned a lot about. But at that time, I had never heard anything like that before in my life. I said, well, how do I do that? How do I influence my genetics? And he said, well, if you don't want to get cancer, then don't feed your cells the number one feeding source for cancer. And that's sugar. I was like, what? He was like, yep, sugar feeds cancer. And if you continue to feed your cells sugar, then you are contributing to activating those cancer cells. And if you have that in your genetics, then, you know, you're going to suffer the consequences of that. So I came home that day with this new conviction. And I said, I am not going to eat sugar again. I'm done. I'm done with sugar. And I walked through the door and I announced this to my husband. And he looked at me and was like, okay. But he didn't really like take me that seriously. But there was something inside of me that had this deep, deep conviction. Now, looking back at where I was at that time, I was terrified of losing my father. I was seeing his health decline. He was my soulmate. I adored him. The thought of losing him was unbearable. And I think at that moment, the only thing that I could control was the food I ate. It allowed me a sense of control. It made me feel a little bit more empowered in a time when I felt like there was so much uncertainty around me. So I went balls to the wall. I started looking at every label. I started reading everything. I started learning about sugar. It was around that time that I met Dr. Sanchez, who at the time was a doctor that my father really liked. He met him at a radio station here in Miami called Radio Caracol. And he called me and said, Caro, this doctor is amazing. He's got new ideas. He's young. He's into integrative medicine. I think you would love him. You should definitely go see him. And I sent my husband to see him before I went to see him, because at the time, since my babies were so little, my primary doctor was my OBGYN. But my husband needed to lose weight. My husband drank too much. My husband smoked too much. Like, my husband needed a tune-up, and I wanted to give him access to a doctor. He never wanted to go to the doctor, probably because whenever he went to the doctor would tell him, you know, you have to lose weight and you have to change your lifestyle, and he didn't want to hear it. So, but I somehow convinced him to go see this doctor, Dr. Sanchez, and he did. And when he got to that doctor's office, he started to tell the doctor about his weight and about this and about that. And what he met on the other side was someone who was not judgmental, not critical, not pointing a finger at him or telling him what he needed to do. It was this man who was kind and open and met him where he was at. And Orlando would be like, well, doctor, you know, I need to lose some weight. And the doctor would say, okay, well, just pile on the greens. You know, just pile on the greens on your plate. And, oh, doctor, I know I drink too much wine. And okay, well, every time that you have a glass of wine, maybe have a glass of water and drink a couple of milk thistle pills to clean up your liver. So he was just so, it was so easy that my husband came home enamored with this man, and I knew I had to meet him. Well, I did meet him, and I became his student, and I spent years learning from him. And eventually, he became my business partner. And we hosted a ton of fasting challenges for many years to help people integrate fasting in their lives. So he's just been, and now he's just one of my dear friends. So he's just been such an incredible person in my life. And I met him because of this decision that I made to stop eating sugar. So I digress. But so at that time, I really started to change my habits, and I started to go very strictly into a no sugar diet. And I was extreme. I will admit it. It was an extreme lifestyle at the time. In fact, because I cut out sugar so drastically from my diet, And because the diet that I had had so much sugar in it, without even trying, in about 2 weeks, I dropped something outrageous, like 15 pounds. I mean, I got scarily thin at the time. And I remember people started to notice, and even my husband at some point was kind of upset with me. He was like, something's wrong. Like, you know, you're taking this too seriously. You're going to this extreme. But I was convicted, and I just did not want to put any sugar in my body. I didn't want to get cancer, and no one was going to convince me otherwise. And I lived like that for many years. And I have often talked about, during that time, one of the reasons that I was as extreme as I was because I didn't trust myself. I had this knowing that eating healthy and eating no sugar and having that kind of lifestyle was not my identity. My identity at the time was pastelitos de guayaba. My identity was Burger King. My identity was carbs, pasta, breads, rice, all the things. I loved those foods. And I knew, or I feared, not that I knew, I feared that if I even attempted to taste them, I would relapse into my old self. And I feared that I would be unable to ride that momentum any longer that I had gotten that day. Something about that day triggered me, and it gave me this will to do this thing. And I didn't trust that I could have a quote unquote balanced lifestyle and be able to manage it. I thought I would revert back to my old ways. So for a long time, I was very, very, very extreme. And I will say it served me well, because I moved past superficial knowledge into a mastery level knowledge about food, about health, about nutrition. It took my husband about 6 months to get on board, but once he did get on board, he eventually lost a ton of weight. Then that led to him not drinking anymore. And for the last 10 years, we've been eating healthy, sober, just living a wellness lifestyle. And it has been transformative in our lives. So it set the stage for our family at the time. And I'm very grateful for how committed I was to that at the time. And it also helped me really nourish my kids for the time that I had control over them, which is no longer, by the way. Now I have these teenagers and they eat whatever they want, and they're not really on board with my regimen. So it's a big challenge with them now, but I trust that they'll come back. But anyway, at least for the years that I had control, which is when they were very, very little, I was able to just put a lot of nourishment into their body. I mean, I was able to load them up with healthy foods and vegetables and all this kind of stuff. I'll tell you a funny little story about that. Because Justin was only 7 months old when I decided to change my lifestyle, one of the suggestions that was made to me at the time was, instead of giving him baby food from compota, which is, you know, a pre-made baby food that you buy at the grocery store, somebody suggested to me that I make baby food. And I had no idea what that meant. I was like, make baby food? Like, what could I possibly do to make my kids baby food? It was unfathomable to me. I did not know that cookie dough was made with flour and eggs. I thought it just came in a Pillsbury dough container, and I just like popped up like that. I think back to that time and I realized that I was lacking some critical thinking skills as it related to food. Please don't judge me for this, but it was just so bad. I mean, the day that I found out that Pillsbury dough was made from flour and eggs and sugar, I was dumbfounded. My husband was the one that broke the news to me. He really taught me to be a critical thinker. But baby food was no different. Like, I had no idea. So a friend of mine, her name is Yaimi, she was, she makes everything and organic, and she was all into making her kids food. And I'm talking to her and I said, can you help me? Can you help me make baby food? Because I have no idea what I'm doing. And she said, I'm gonna send you a cookbook, a baby cookbook. So she sent me this little book and it was like 100 recipes for baby food or something like that. And I opened the book. I'm so excited. I'm finally gonna learn how to make baby food. And when I open it, it says, to make banana puree for your baby, grab a banana, peel the banana, grab a fork, smash the banana, feed the banana to the baby. I was like, what? Then the next page, how to make avocado puree for your baby. Grab an avocado, slice it in half, remove the core, the pit, scoop out the avocado with a fork or spoon, smash the avocado, feed the avocado to the baby. It blew my mind. I had no idea that that was even possible. Orly, my first son, ate carrot puree for 4 days in a row while we were on vacation because I didn't find any other purees. We were in a college town and there was no grocery stores, and we found like 5 different carrot purees at the bottom shelf of a CVS that had probably been there for 10 months but hadn't gotten expired because of all the preservatives. And it never occurred to me when we went to restaurants that I could order from the restaurant an avocado or a banana and just smash it and give it to this child. No clue. I did not get the memo. That is how limited in my thinking I was. So when I saw that cookbook, it changed me forever. And I realized then that that was what eating single ingredient foods meant. That was what eating healthy meant. It's grab a freaking banana and eat it. Grab an avocado and eat it. That is how I adopted the thought, the habit of eating whole foods. I mean, I know this is crazy. But anyway, all this to say that the journey was very helpful. It led me to discover what whole foods were. It led me to understand food. It led me to start to appreciate ingredients and individual foods. It took me away from packaged foods, from junk food, from takeout, from fast food, all that kind of stuff. So it was extremely helpful and served me well. And I did that for many years. And then after my father passed away, and after I got past the grief, and after I felt like I had mastery of my lifestyle, and after I had adopted a new identity, an identity of the kind of person who didn't have to sacrifice and look away from the Burger King so that she didn't cave, but the person who just didn't want the Burger King. Then I started to open myself up to be a little bit more relaxed, have some indulgences, not be so hard on myself, you know, just kind of allow myself. If I want to eat a chocolate chip cookie I'll eat a chocolate chip cookie. If I want to eat cake at a birthday party, I don't really eat cake, but just to give you an example, then I could eat cake at a birthday party. Like, I didn't want to be so strict forever. If I wanted a bowl of pasta, then maybe I could have a bowl of pasta. And that balance came actually as I was training for a marathon, because I would run these very, 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 very long distances. And when I would return home from running these long distances, sometimes I would vomit a lot. And I called Dr. Sanchez and I said, "Why am I vomiting?" And he said, "You're probably not getting enough glucose. You're not getting enough fuel in your body. You need to eat more." And, you know, he talked to me about clean carbs and eating more carbs than usual, but that was one of the things that led me to being open to things that I hadn't been open to in 5 years, which was rice, pasta, maybe a bread here and there, just more of that. So in the cycle, in the season, I went from extreme to finding a middle ground. And then I started Rejuvafast, which I just talked to you about. And when I did Rejuvafast, I started learning about the power of fasting for a few days, and I started to adopt a new mindset, which was you nourish your body 70% of the time, you fast 20% of the time, and then it allows you to indulge 10% of the time without guilt. And I did that for several years. And then something happened. I noticed I started to use my fasting windows as the cleanup to allow me to indulge more in between the fasting windows. It happened. It snuck up on me. I didn't notice it right away, probably because I wasn't being mindful about it. But at some point, I did start to notice that the window of my indulgences started to grow and grow and grow in between my fasts. And this year, I decided, okay, it's time to reevaluate. It's time to notice again what's going on. It's time to be a little bit more mindful. Maybe this year I'm going to skip fasting so that I can really focus on, you know, indulging less and eating cleaner. But here's what happened. Because I already had mastery on what eating healthy was, because a grand majority of my diet, I already understand, I already eat clean, I already enjoy the foods, I don't need to contribute a lot of thinking energy towards those things, I went on autopilot. I just started to focus on other things that were more important at the time. My work, my family, exercise, just, you know, focused on other things. And nutrition became an autopilot thing for me. And I had my system. But the biggest problem that we have with autopilot is that we stop engaging consciously. And unconsciously, we default to patterns that probably don't serve us. And that's what I've been doing. Out of convenience, I always have a cafe con leche in the morning. That's like kind of like my thing. I add collagen powder. I add creatine. It's like a healthy cafe con leche. And it's my one thing in the morning that I love to have before I start my day. Well, guess what? I started to have two of them a day. Why? Because it was easier to have a second cafe con leche than to have to think about breakfast. And I was so zoomed in on work. I was so zoomed in on, I have so many walking sessions, so many clients right now, so many things going on, this podcast, taking the kids to school, picking up, you know, there was just so much that it was the second cafe con leche would serve me for the entire day. And then I didn't have to worry about food until like 1 o'clock. And then I also noticed that around 3 o'clock, I was getting hungry for snacks. And if my kids had peanut butter pretzels in the house, I would eat peanut butter pretzels with them in the house. And I would have never done that before. But this taking for granted that I'm just a healthy eater, being on autopilot, not being conscious about it, I started to let indulgences sneak into my life. And before you know it, your body starts to reflect your habits. And that is just the hard truth. Now, what's fascinating is that I'm getting more compliments than ever. People are like, oh, you look great because you've gained some weight. You look fantastic. I'm also working out a lot. I'm doing a lot of weight training. So, of course, weight training makes you gain some weight. Also, it doesn't make you get big. People have this big misconception about weight training. So let me go back on that. It doesn't make you gain weight, but muscle weighs more than fat. So if you are very, very, very skinny and have no muscle, you may just have a lot of fat and you're skinny fat. Whereas you could have a little bit more weight on you, but you have a lot of muscle and less fat. So that's what I meant by that. I had gained some weight, but I attributed it to having put on muscle. And that's why I had gained some weight. But I was really on autopilot. So in a couple of months ago, I think it was February, I did a Foundation February. I did a challenge, a nutritional challenge with my friend Lorna. And that really put me back into a groove. It put me back into some good habits. I was really mindful about my food during that time. But then in March and April, I kind of shifted back into autopilot once again. And I don't know why. And I think part of the reason was because I had gotten so used to having these quarterly fasts, one in January, one in April, one in June, and one in October, that it's almost like my brain has been waiting for my quarterly fast to get back on track. And that quarterly fast isn't coming this year because I'm not hosting the fast this year. So this month, in Mindfulness May, when I tried to button that vest up and I noticed that I couldn't button it, couldn't close it, it was time. It was time to pay attention. It was time to come back to basics. And it was time to go from autopilot to aligned action. That is important. And all it means is that my nutrition deserves my consciousness again. Whatever you are on autopilot on, when you get the memo that you've taken it too far, it's time to notice and decide that you are going to shift from unconscious behavior to conscious behavior, which means you have to think about it, which means you have to plan for it, which means you have to be actively taking aligned action. And that is what I have decided to do. So I have gone back to having certain non-negotiables. And, you know, I do believe life is rigged in my favor and the universe is always supporting me. So as luck would have it, a couple of weeks ago, I started to get really bad headaches. I have never gotten a headache. I don't suffer from headaches, but all of a sudden I started to get really bad headaches. And I went to see my chiropractor, Marcelo, and we were talking about what could cause the headaches. I also talked to Dr. Sanchez about it. And what we ruled it down to was that chocolate or sugar or some variation of that is what was giving me headaches. And because I was indulging more unconsciously and more often, I was getting these bad headaches. So I was talking to my husband, Orlando, and he said, oh my God, this is such a gift for you because now when you have to decide at night if you want to have a little piece of dark chocolate or not, or you know your son makes chocolate chip cookies from scratch that are absolutely delicious and you want to eat 10 of them, you get to ask yourself, what do I want more, those chocolate chip cookies or the headache? So it's put me back in a position. Thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you
for this headache, because it's put me back in a position where I get to remember why I'm eating healthy in the first place. But this story is really a microcosm of a lot of the things that happen in life. You see this in politics. You see this in parenting. You see this with different generations. You see this at work. You see this with your health. You can get really excited about solving for a problem, about educating yourself, learning about something, really going all in on something. Maybe you become a little bit extreme about that thing. Sometimes you may overcorrect as a result of this new obsession and figuring that you have solved life's problems. So you overcorrect. And then as time goes by, you start to maybe soften up a little bit. Maybe you realize that things aren't as black and white as you've made them. Maybe you get to live a little bit in the gray. And then maybe by doing that, you start to revert to some of your old habits or old patterns or old systems that didn't work that well. And then the pendulum swings. So sometimes the pendulum swings from one direction to the other direction. And then the goal is always to bring it back to the center, to bring it back to a place of awareness, mindfulness, and intention. That is really the goal. There is nothing wrong with you because you have been on one side of the pendulum or the other. It's okay to swing from time to time in this human experience as we search for our best path. But it is incredibly important to live with intention, to always notice what is working and what is not working, to name it, and to nurture a life that supports it. For me, I needed to name that I had gone on autopilot with my food. And now I get to nurture a different energy. I get to clean things up. I get to pay attention. I get to take aligned action. And that is going to feel amazing. It already feels amazing. And I've been doing it for several days. I've been really, really aware and really conscious about what I'm putting in my body and why. So like I told you in the beginning, I have these two stylists. One is Samantha and the other one is Paola. And I was in conversation with Paola and I shared with her that I couldn't button up my vest. And I jokingly, you know, was like, it's time to get on a diet, which is not really true. I'm not on a diet, but I was joking. And Paola reached out to me and she said, you know, this is a deeper conversation because I see women all of the time struggling with their weight and their bodies and what they should look like. And she sees that because she styles people so much, right? So she works with body image and weight and self-consciousness about those things. And we had a beautiful conversation about it. And I think it's important to end with this and to really bring this point home because it matters. The problem with the vest isn't that I should, in quotes, air quotes, fit into a certain size. The problem with the vest isn't that I should look a certain way. Problem with the vest is that it was time for me to have a come to Jesus moment and decide if my actions were in true alignment with my wellness. The vest was a symptom. It was evidence that there may have been misalignment. If the answer was that there was no misalignment, Caro doesn't fit into the vest anymore because her back has grown and she's lifting all these weights and she's too muscular and she doesn't fit into the vest, or because she's gained healthy weight as a result of really nourishing her body and she needed that healthy weight. So, you know, that's why she doesn't fit into the vest. I would not try to fit into that vest.
this is not about shoulds or a number on the scale or a size of an outfit. This is about being honest with your habits, with your choices, with your lifestyle, and with your goals. And for me, my honest truth was that I was on autopilot, that I have not been focused or thinking about my food with the same intensity and energy and consciousness that I have done in the past. And the vest was evidence to help me pay attention of that. And now I get back to noticing and I get back to nurturing the identity of the person I want to be, which is a person who prioritizes health and wellness. That is it. That is what getting from autopilot to aligned action is all about. So if you feel like there are some areas in your life that you want to move from autopilot to aligned action, I'm actually hosting a masterclass on May 27th, which is Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning, on this very topic. I invite you to participate. I invite you to join the masterclass so that you can explore more on this idea of being an autopilot and going from autopilot to aligned action. What it means, how it supports you, what you can do about it, and how it can change your life when you have the skill sets and the tools to bring you back into alignment over and over and over again. That's it for now. I hope you have a sacred Sunday, and I will see you next week. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for being here. I love this opportunity to connect with you. Now, if today's conversation sparked something inside of you and you would love the opportunity to dig a little deeper and dare a little bigger, I would love to invite you to my brand new group coaching experience. It is called Dare. We are kicking DARE off on June 2nd, and we are gathering together a community of people who are ready to get more clarity, to dream bigger, to co-create, to release what does not serve them, to take aligned action, and to enjoy this season and this life that they have created. This is going to be a summer experience, and it's going to be amazing. So if you are interested and you want to join, just go to carolinedeposada.com/dare or click the link in my show notes for more details. I cannot wait to see what this opportunity may hold for you. All right then, until next time, may you continue to live a life that allows you to find the bliss that is already within you. Bye.